Blog Talk Radio.
Six.
happy Saturday night. You're listening to Bad Company with Gray Eye Smith. This is a late night poets production, and we are a group on allpoetry.com. We have anthologies available on Amazon. So feel free to check those out as they're filled with poetry from around the world. And they help support these shows. So that's the gist of it. And tonight's show is based on a contest that I ran, which Lee Wildub called Your Favorite Spring Poem. And so those will be read tonight, as well as some carryovers from a couple of weeks ago. And some open poetry as well. Okay, so thank you so much for tuning in, and I'm going to check this phone lines real quick here, see if we have any callers. And we do. Hello, area code 703. Is that you, Bobby?
It is, and on time, too. How about that?
Oh, wow, yeah, you beat the clock on this one. Great to have you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
So I'm going to post the first poem, one of the carryovers from a couple of weeks ago. And if you wouldn't mind, when you see it, please, Bobby.
Mind. I live for this. You know that. Okay. And there it is. Sparks. Okay, Sparks. By D. Edward Burnett. There are places in the heart where the brave dare not go. There are faces in the dark that only shadows know. There are dreams for those who plan a lifetime of gain, and those screams never can hide the strife and pain. And it only takes a moment for the world to turn one day while a heart breaks with one movement. As soon as someone turns away. And we have a refrain here. So with time, don't waste it. It can pass by without a pause. You can blink, and then you'll miss it, and then you lost another cause. Keep your head and never lose it. So don't panic. Keep your cool. Stay in bed if you so choose it. There really isn't one golden rule. There are days out in the sun where the gentle breezes blow. There are ways to get things done with all those plans that help us grow. There are many reasons why we don't aim beyond the stars, for all the seasons fly as we try to hide the scars. For each of us in turn must decide our own sweet fate, for even paper burns as sparks touch us before they fade. So with time, don't waste it. It can pass by without a pause. You can blink, and then you'll miss it. And then you'll know you've lost another cause. Keep your head and never lose it. So don't panic. Keep your cool. Stay in bed if you so choose it. There really isn't one golden rule. And poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, these are words to live by here, you know. There are places in the heart where the brave dare not go. There are faces in the dark that only shadows know. There are dreams for those who plan a lifetime of gain, and those dreams never can hide the strife and pain. It's just an epic poem on the subject of living your daily life. And what did you think, Bobby?
Oh, I thought it was beautifully written. It was a smooth read. Very well structured, good cadence, good rhyming scheme, didn't feel forced, and the message is very clear, and it's something that we all have to keep reminding ourselves of, because we think we're going to live forever and we're all bulletproof. We don't realize that life turns on a moment, and it was a time, don't waste it. It can pass you by without a pause. You can blink, and then you'll miss it. I've been to towns like that. You blink, you miss them. and then you've lost another cause. And it's very true. You have to live for the moment. You can plan, but every day is a gift. and you can't squander it.
No, exactly. Thank you, Bobby. That was a great comment. I'm going to check the phone lines real quick here. And it's just us two. Okay. Well, that was a wonderful meet. Sorry.
How cozy.
Yeah. That was a wonderful read, Bobby. Okay, so I'm going to post the next one here, and I'll give us a read. And it's called A Lifetime to Undo by Dances with Words. A lifetime to undo who I became, since I, not of your blood, by your love. Why, how, would, could anyone instill such shame upon a child so innocent, spirit, thereby imbibed a whole where the heart, mind, body, and soul ought to know unity. You chose me as your adopted child, who knew instead of a puppet was what you wanted. Well, I cut the strings one by one, dangled decades, finally became as God intended. And via such transcendent, transformative experience, through all the horrific hell of identity, this deconstruction, eventual reconstruction, not only have I become Tat Vam Asi, thou art that, but my heart, mind, have expanded to no longer fear or hate you, nor myself. Now wishing both of us, each who we are truly, who we truly are, our essences, only the best ongoing. End poem. Well, that was deep and kind of painful, but refreshing at the end, you know, where they find themselves and become whole as a person, you know, which isn't easy when you've had your identity washed away as a child. Just tragic, you know, beginning to life, but you found strength in the end, so that's the main thing. And just beautiful sentiment throughout. What did you think, Bobby?
Well, I thought this was a very visceral write. If this is from personal experience, it takes a lot of courage to plumb deep enough to come up with things that remind you of painful past. And but it's beautifully written. And it's reflective of a little bit of black humor. There's a saying that goes, most women, they spend 18 years with their mother and the rest of their lives getting over her. Seriously, I can't tell you how many women are living proof of that, myself included. And this is it, but you're right, it does a turn. You chose me as your adopted child. Now here's it says this person was adopted and still there was identity problems and crisis. But who knows what kind of baggage the parent brought with them. Unfortunately, you know, when you become a parent, there's not a portal that says check your childhood baggage here. Unfortunately, we carry it with us for the rest of our lives unless we become aware of it and really work it and unloading it. But this, you're right, has a very positive ending.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here and we'll get this up on the board. And when you see this, please, Bobby. This is by the wonderful poet named Del Rey.
And I'm going to have to refresh. Oh, there it is. Okay, I threatened it with refresh and it popped up.
Yeah.
When I refresh, it completely reorders. It puts the bottom at the top and the top at the bottom and I get all tangled up. Okay,
yeah.
Del Rey, in the stratosphere. As I let go an untethered rainbow, I drag the frayed lines of my hot air balloon through the boreal forest of the north. They sweep across the nose of a growling black bear and slap the rump of a running white-tailed deer. Like fingertips, they trace the cresting waves of a crystal lake across a shimmering bay to a misty waterfall. I reach out of the wicker basket to touch the wings of migrating geese headed south. I mimic their honking noise, then drift like a dandelion parachute to the tallest Sitka spruce trees. I tie my airship onto a branch and sit on a soft green bough. I whisper to the gray owls who hoo-hoos in deep pitches. The wind sweeps through the canopy as the red sunset bleeds into the blanket of stars. Unhinged, I drop the leaded weights that hold me down and float into the stratosphere, leaving all weather and worry behind. Up above the clouds, I sail. And the author's note says, sweet dreams. And
That did have a dreamy quality to it. You know, it was like living in his dream of flying in a hot air balloon as the straps, you know, sweep across the road, the nose of a growling black bear and slap the rump of a white running-tailed deer. You know, it's very visceral and deeply powerful in its simplicity. I really loved it. What did you think, Bobby?
Oh, I liked it a lot. The visual imagery in this is just so graphic and vivid. This descriptions are simple, but they're very impactful. I reach out of the wicker basket to touch the wings of migrating geese headed south. I mimic their honking noise and drift like a dandelion parachute. And when I say dandelion parachute, it pops into your head to the tallest Sitka spruce trees. This is a beautiful reflection on nature. Obviously, the writer is very much connected with nature and loves it very much because it's reflected in this beautiful, beautiful write. And like I said, very simple. The language reminds me of Martha Gettle's writing. Very approachable, very straightforward, no frivolous fripperies, but just so communicates so much with such simple language.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, we've got another caller here. I'm going to bring him on.
Yay!
Hello, area code 877. Who's there, please?
Hey, guys. It's Dan DeShino.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
Hey, Dan the man.
Great. Great, Bobby. How are you guys?
Hey. Yeah, I'm never heard Dan before.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Dan the Man, Dan Tana, Daniel's son, Danimal. There's 10 million names for Dan, so I answer to anything.
You've got to start cataloging them.
Exactly, there's a whole catalog. So, yeah, so, for some bizarre reason, I'm not sound asleep at this time of night, so but I join in on the fun.
Yay!
Well, that's great to call in.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab the next poll here, if you wouldn't mind when you see it, Daniel.
Absolutely. Can I give a quick comment? I actually got to hear and read Delray's poem.
Sure.
I agree with you guys. I really wanted to say I thought this is a great spiritual poem as well too. I could a lot of times myself I look up at the sky. It actually reminds me of a Dave Matthews line. I think in Dancing Nancy's, he says, "I look up at the sky, my mouth open wide," and it reminds me of that. A lot of times when I'm stressed out and walking around, I just kind of look up and see the sky, and you can kind of just see. It's almost like you open up the world and everything kind of opens up. You can feel all your stress going away, and that's how I feel this is. I feel like this person is taking a little bit of a journey, up in the air and just kind of letting everything below him, everything that's holding you down, just letting it go and kind of going off. As that one line there, sweep across the nose of a growling black bear, slap the rump of a white-tailed deer. I know that's a playful one, but also it's kind of like, whatever, I don't care. I'm good. Nothing's worrying me. So I thought that was really great. But, I will read
excellent
the next
comment.
One if you post that.
Yeah, it's up. Thank you.
Let's see here. Is that by Duke?
Yes.
Okay. Get that going. This is called Alone. alone in the distance between vibrations, sitting there next to you, nails on the chalkboard of my longing, digesting a horror film on mute. Still, only a dark and cold place between, lies of you telling the truth, occupying my ability to hear, to ever hear, the tightening of the noose. Hope they bury you deep below, the vastness of your pain, so that no one scratches the surface of ever unearthing your grave. If I tried to go up, you only dove down, repeating our sound wave. Deafening silence tells the story of passion long gone astray. End poem.
Wow, that was a deeply pain-filled poem. You can feel the hurt and the angst that he has for this person. It's just a wonderfully descriptive and engaging poem throughout. What did you think, Bobby?
Very visceral, right? Very raw. But that's Dex. That is Dex all over. And he's got some great lines in there, too. Nails on the chalkboard of my longing. What a great metaphor. Digesting a horror film on mute. Still only a dark and cold space between lies of you telling, between lies of you telling the truth. Wow, that's an interesting line, especially with a cold space between lies of you telling the truth. You really have to think about that, the way he phrased it. But that's Dex also. He writes a very cerebral piece, and this you like you said, has a lot of angst, has a lot of raw pain at the surface.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. That was a wonderful comment. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, no, I agree, Bobby. It's very deep and visceral. And, you know, if you're hurt by somebody, you know, nails on the chalkboard of my longing, that is an amazing line. You can have that anger as well, too. And really amazing imagery that I saw was the hope they bury you deep below the vastness of your pain so that no one scratches the surface of your ever unearthing your grave. That's really an amazing line. You know, it was coming to mind was that, you know, the horror of being buried alive and you're scratching it inside the coffin trying to get out. And that's almost what I see there, where I hope this pain that you've caused me or the pain that you have that I can't handle anymore, that it's gone. Nobody else can hear it. It's buried forever. So very deep. And he says right on his notes, Sound of Silence, 96 words. I like to get to the point. And he did. He's just right. You know, I'm right to it. So really, really amazing imagery.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. Okay, the next write-up, and this is by Dragon Sources. It's called Black Angel. Black Angel holding court as she sits on her throne, throne fashioned from black marble stone. Floor below her is littered with bone. Procurer of souls, she'll bemoan. Skull from the latest victim, she'll not atone. Murmurs through hell, this black angel they dread. Eviscerations, how they bled. Her sense of justice has been fed. The queen of underworld instead orders her minions to clean up the dead. Beauty with brains, angel does not mesmerize. Bathing in blood, he will baptize. Uses beauty as a disguise. Of her conquest, she'll rhapsodize. Cleaving heads from body is no surprise. Displaying the skulls became her trademark. Dungeon-like cavern now quite stark. Rarely does Angel miss her mark. Black marble stone is her hallmark. Mother of this realm of hell, matriarch. Performs her own justice, cannot be swayed. Her realm of hell, do not invade. Crude seductress, Angel portrayed. She is known as a renegade. Surrounding her throne, all the skulls displayed. End poem. Wow, that was dark and deep. You know, it speaks of the life of this black angel holding court as she sits on her throne fashioned of black marble stone. You can picture all this, as well as the floor below her being littered with bone. You can imagine her as a procurer of souls, as she bemoans. But, it definitely paints a dark and dreary picture of a hell-filled scene. What did you think, Bobby?
Well, I think that's what all the popular religions want hell to look like. Very nasty, because otherwise we'd all want to be there. It is a very, very dark rite. But that is typical of Dragon Sorceress. Some of the other things that she does out there, very goth, very dark. Reminded me a little bit of one of the lines from Dex's poem, digesting a horror film on mute. It does sound like quite the horror. It has got some vivid visual imagery in it. This is a great word picture. It has been painted very dark and very vividly. It's definitely a very deep and dark rite, which is probably be a great thing to read around Queen.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Thank you, Bobby. And Daniel, what did you think?
Very descriptive. I looked up real quick the it says Art Black Angel by Sandara, so I looked it up, and it's interesting picture with a black angel basically sitting on a throne surrounded by skulls. I'm just like she described, but she did an amazing job describing, and I love the rhyme scheme and the way it's set up. It always, when I read things like this, it reminds me a lot of a novel I've read a few times from one of my favorite authors. He's a science fiction author, Larry Niven, but he actually wrote a novel called Inferno, which is a takeoff of Dante's Inferno, where a science fiction writer accidentally kills himself and ends up in Dante's hell, basically, and travels through it. And as a science fiction guy, he's trying to explain it scientifically where he is, the whole time, but he walks through all the different layers of hell, and you see a bunch of, there's a bunch of characters like this in there. So a lot of times when I read this, it reminds me of that novel. I recommend to anybody who's listening. That's very interesting. The descriptions are really, really great. I mean, it almost reminds me of Dante, actually. That's part of why it came up as well, too. Like the different cantos that he wrote, this almost kind of reminds me a little bit of one, the way that it's composed. So I don't really know much about Dragon Sorceress. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like cadence is right, absolutely. So I don't know much about Dragon Sorceress, but I love this kind of stuff, so I'm going to have to read more of hers.
I just looked up that picture that you were talking about. You're right. It is a very great, a very, very accurate description.
Yeah, she did a great job. Awesome. I'm going to have to read more of hers. I'm going to follow her right now.
I think she's left AP, unfortunately.
Oh, that's bad.
But her profile is still up.
Well, we'll have to hope she's listening and she comes back.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we have the next poem up, and it has a SoundCloud, so we'll get that.
Okay.
I'm not seeing it. No, I don't see it. Okay, can you read that for me, please, Bobby?
Certainly. I left the page. Let me go right back to the page. We are on Breaking Stone by Martha Gettle. Is that what that's the one we're looking at?
If you could sing it like her, that would be great, too.
Yeah, and for $20, I won't. That's a great old joke. Okay, I don't think I could. I could channel Martha as hard as I could, but I don't think I could come anywhere close to her harmonics. Okay, Breaking Stone. I thought that I would always be alone when he left me with a heart of stone. But then suddenly there was you, and I'm thinking dreams can come true. In your eyes I see the water flow, and in my heart I feel love grow. I think the stone is cracking at last. I can truly put him in the past. Horace's baby, I heard that water can break stone just as the steady drip of water alone. I met you and the water is flowing free, and I'm seeing what the future could be. When I look in your eyes, I could see the water rise. You have broken open my heart of stone. In your heart, my heart has found a home. Baby, I heard that water can break stone just as the steady drip of water alone. I met you and the water is flowing free, and I'm seeing what the future could be. We're building a raging river, you and me, and in our love I can see eternity. When I reach out, you are there in my mind, and I hold the greatest treasure I can find. That and poem.
Beautiful read. And such a touching love-filled poem, you know, when she goes from heartbreak and having her heart turned to stone in sadness and pain, and then having somebody who has the water in their eyes, and she can see that as love, and together they'll build a river, a raging river that you can see eternity in. And I thought it was just a wonderful pen, most beautiful, beautiful sentiment. What did you think, Bobby?
Like all of Martha's work, it is just so straightforward and so genuine in her emotion. And I like the way she makes a wonderful point. I love her analogy about water breaking stone. I heard that water can break stone just a steady drip of water alone. I met you and the water is flowing free, and I'm seeing what the future could be. That is a great analogy. It really is, because she says that it doesn't take something monumental. It just takes a kindness and a patience. And the way she says it in here is just, like I said, with the analogy of using water, I think that's a very elegant analogy.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with Bobby 100%. Martha has a really great way of her rhymes are always kind of on point, and she's so true to heart. The way I describe her is it's pure roots music. You know, to me, pure music is just I talked about this on the last show I was on actually with her, that it's listen to Beyonce and Justin Timberlake, and these people find whatever, it's good produced music, but you want to hear real pure music from the heart. You listen to somebody like Martha, who I picture just kind of sitting on her porch, like just singing this song just to express herself in her own way for no other reason than just pure expression. And that's the way I always think about when I hear Martha. Her especially her love poems always come really true to the heart. They're just like she's almost having a conversation with a friend. So even though it was beautiful read, Bobby, so nothing against you, but even though she didn't get to sing, if anybody hasn't heard her songs, you should listen to her SoundClouds. They're great.
Yeah,
and Bobby, and just as Bobby's read was absolutely beautiful as well, too, Bobby.
Well, thank you.
Fantastic.
Martha's singing reminds me of a film I saw one time, called Songcatcher, and it's about I believe it's fact based, but a teacher, a woman who goes up into the Appalachians, and she finds out that so many of the songs that they sing in there had their origins in England, and they were carried over by the and because they were up in the mountains, they weren't adulterated or corrupted. It was a purer form of the music. And that's what Martha's music reminds me of.
Yeah, hers actually, that's very interesting. Hers actually reminds me of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, if you've ever seen that movie.
Yes.
Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack of that, I love that soundtrack, and it reminds me, there's songs in there that are like this, just you know, roots, just, you know, backwards songs. They're just fantastic. So she reminds me, I could see her on that soundtrack.
I'll send you the link to that film. I think you'd like it.
Yeah, great. I'm up. Amateur movie buff.
Very cool.
I'm an amateur everything, okay, so, but yes, movie buff too.
We're going to get to this springtime contest now. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Daniel, when you see this.
Of course. You mean the one about the black angel that was in springtime? I thought that was part of the springtime. Joking, I'm joking. this is by Jen R. Bourne. This is called Popcorn Trees. Periwinkle clouds meander through gray branches. Rays try to break free. Sun wants to be felt. Light longs for barren hillsides. Green transformation. Warmth fills chilled tree trunks with vibrating potential. I almost see buds. Fluffy, buttered, white blossoms full of sweet fragrance buzzing through my mind. Dormant flowers hide, humming with vitality. Wait for spring to pop. End poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful read, Daniel. And, you know, this is a beautiful poem, too. It paints such a pretty picture of these periwinkle clouds that meander through gray branches, rains trying to break free. The sun wants to be felt, light longs for barren hillside, green transformation. And just a beautiful, right? What did you think, Bobby?
I had never thought of the buds in a tree looking like popcorn, but I don't think I'll ever not think of it now. Because the buds, as a matter of fact, I was looking out my window, my kitchen window, earlier at my magnolia. I have two different kinds. One blooms first thing in the spring, and then it leafs out, and I have a set that they leaf out first, and then they bloom in May. And I look at the way the buds are set on certain trees, and with things like the cherry blossoms or apple blossoms, those buds are so round. They're so round that they do, especially if it's a blossom, if it's a tree that has the white blossoms like cherry, they do look like popcorn. And I never thought of it. I really like the visual imagery and what it's provoked me to think of.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Great comment. And Daniel, what did you think?
I'm the same way. I've never thought of it that before, but that is what it looks like, you know, especially with the buds on the trees. And, you know, almost every single year, there are trees that I go, trees have flowers on them? Like, I forget every year that the trees have flowers, and they do. I do every single year. I'm like surprised by it. That some trees actually, but I forget every single year, and I go, yeah, that's really beautiful. My wife has described before, she's an artist, like painter and so forth, and she's a really interesting imagery of trees as fire, just because of the way that it like the branches kind of spring out, and I'm like, yeah, I can see it like that. So trees to me are very interesting because you can see so many different things with them. But the popcorn is really, because it is, you know, not only does it look like that, to me that's like a, like it's popping forth, it's bursting forth with, you know, everything coming out. So yeah, really great descriptions, and I think it's beautiful and you know, positive, heartfelt, you know, tribute to spring, which is great because that is, you know, kind of what spring really brings to people, right? Coming out of the winter time, warmth, you know, renewal, and I think this encapsulates all of that. So great, great job, Jennifer Bowen.
Talk about spring. Guess what I've got in my garden? One lone daffodil.
Popped
over today. It's like the head's looking out going, where is everybody?
Yeah, new eyes are.
Yeah.
Well, you obviously are not in Massachusetts as me, because we're like 12 degrees and there's a foot of snow on the ground, so there's no daffodils.
And you picture my daffodil.
Exactly.
No,
right. I'm jealous.
In Virginia. I pray for snow. Send me some.
Well, take it.
Yeah. Take it by the truckload. But no, you guys, when you were talking about trees, reminded me of something, a TikTok that I saw yesterday, and it was about a tree in Africa that rains down acid sap and has
really
poisonous apples. Yeah, poisonous apples as well. So, yeah,
my
it was
gosh.
Pretty. You know, yeah.
I've never heard that. I got to look that up.
Yeah, it causes burns and everything. So, yeah. But excellent, great, excellent read. Okay,
nature is, you know, nature is like love. It's pretty, but it'll kill you. I don't know what I'm saying. I just made that up. I don't know if that's true. But, you know.
I like it.
There you go.
Okay, so this is written by Allison Hodges, and it's called Spring Afternoon. The wind among the trees, the sun behind the cloud, a peaceful day in my backyard is where my soul is found. It may not be too large for fences it encloses, but my whole world waits for me there, for worries there run slow. Leaves and start sunlight shimmer, the cardinal spreads its wings, the day frolics among the leaves, a garden cricket sings. Flowers aren't yet blooming, but summer's drawing near. It gently whispers on the wind, right there beneath my ear. And she says in her author's notes, I discovered Emily Dickinson at the age of 10, a child's garden of verses. I started writing by imitating her style, and it still comes out in my rhyming poems quite often. Without Emily, I wouldn't be the poet I am today. So that's powerful. But no, she paints a beautiful picture of this scene in her backyard where, you know, where the troubles run slow and the flowers aren't yet blooming, but summer's drawing near. It gently whispers on the wind right there beneath my ear. You know, it's a beautiful poem, very touching. What did you think, Bobby?
I think I'm glad she mentioned the fact that she reflects on Emily Dickinson. Sorry, that's my message thing in the background. I like that she mentioned that because I was listening to it and I thought, God, that sounds so familiar. The style, the cadence, the rhyming scheme, and the fact that while she does echo Emily Dickinson, she still has made it her own. And again, the very straightforward language, the very simple rhyme. And it's not a very long piece, but my goodness, the visual imagery is there. It really is. The flowers aren't yet blooming. I'm stuck on the last stanza. Flowers aren't yet blooming, but summer's drawing near, it gently whispers on the wind right there beneath my ear. I love that. That's beautiful. I think this whole thing is just, it's classic. It really is.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, again, I agree. Bobby, it's really a beautiful picture. So far, the poems about spring that we've had have been just really beautiful pictures of poems. And they I'm a big fan of you know, even though most of my I start writing just, you know, about something pretty, I end up writing about the, you know, meaning of life and then how the universe is made. It's the way my mind works. I also really like just writing kind of what I call tone poems, which is just kind of the, you know, what you're seeing around there. And to me, that's kind of what spring is. Like, you don't have to think too much about it. Just realize the beauty it is, and that's what I really love about these last two poems, this one, you know, included, that it's just, it's really just, yeah, show, just what am I feeling when spring comes, what am I seeing, you know, and it's that takes a lot of talent and a lot of, you know, poetic talent to be able to do something like that and make it beautiful, and I think that's what Allison did here. So I love it. I think it's great.
Well said. That was a wonderful comment. Thank you, Daniel.
Yeah.
Okay, Bobby, you're up next, please.
Woohoo! I just realized I didn't throw anything in the basket. Okay. Let's see. We have Spring Sprightly Fort. I have to think about saying that. One of my friends says, I got my tongue wrapped around my eye teeth and I can't see what I'm saying.
Yep.
All righty. Spring's Sprightly Fourth by E.C. Levain, 01. Waving sprigs of golden flowers in fields with clover interspersed and tiny sprays of violets and verdant tufts of grass. Spring so vitally arrived, with tiny flowers in meadows gleam like stars, cascading merrily besides a lilting, warbling stream. In a brilliant cobalt sky, birds and butterflies dance a tapestry collage on high as cloud wisps slowly dip and dance. Like the phoenix resurrected, spring bursts forth in all its glory. Life's renewed in its vibrant colors as birds sing out this eldritch story and poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I found that last bit, you know, as birds sing out this eldritch story. I looked up eldritch, and it says weird and sinister or ghastly. And I didn't find this poem to be, you know, have any of that in it. But it was a beautiful write. You know, it's very picturesque and vibrant in its spring-like nature. It's brilliant in a brilliant cobalt sky, birds and butterflies enhance a tapestry collage on high as cloud wisps slowly dip and dance. And then I really like that line, like the phoenix resurrected, spring bursts forth in all its glory, life's renewed in vibrant colors, and then as birds sing out this elder story. But yeah, fascinating poem. What did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, absolutely. I really like the rhyme. I mean, I write mostly free verse, mostly because I walk when I write, so it's just, I don't have a rhyming dictionary when I'm writing or the internet, so it's easier. But I like the rhyme so far. All the rhyming that everyone's been saying, because to me it's. Rhyming kind of ties things together and makes it a little more, rhyming is more harmonious, I think, with any kind of poetry, and that's what I think of with spring. So I really enjoyed that, and I thought the rhyming was great in this. I thought it was kind of beautiful how it came, and I was interested in you know, why the poet put eldritch on there, and to me it's kind of, because spring, sprightly forth. So sprightly being like, you know, sprites are kind of little mischievous a little bit, and it does come forth mischievous. It kind of takes over the world, you know, the way springtime does, because the world is what it is, and all of a sudden it's like a whole new thing. Everything looks completely different, and that's a very interesting way of putting it, in almost like a mystical way. You know, the birds, the butterflies. I also really... You know, the birds, butterflies, and the tiny sprays of violets, everything's kind of taking over, you know, in a, you know, like a mischievous way, which I really enjoyed. I also like the phoenix, you know, that's always a great way to describe spring, right? The renew like the phoenix. Everything kind of dies and goes away. You know, all the bugs are hiding in hibernation. You know, the trees look like they're dead, right? And all of a sudden, like a phoenix, bang, everything kind of comes forth. Burst forth in its glory, which I always love that metaphor. So very, very, very well done. Very nice.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. Okay, Daniel, if you wouldn't mind reading the next one for me, that would be great.
I absolutely would not. Let's take a look here. By Scraps and Scribbles, this is called Moment. Excuse me. I saw a snowflake smash against a flower. The poetry is something of a lift. I felt, with Blake, forever in an hour. Such violence and paradox, a gift. I tried to count the beauties breaking me, more numerous than snowflakes, that's for sure. I felt submerged in something like the sea. I felt immune to me, no need for cure. And as the crystal broke against the bloom, the world was quiet, private for a beat. As if its vastness were now just a room, the galaxy a house, and space a street. And then the whole thing shattered utterly. The moment burst, rejoined eternity. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, and this is an excellent write. You know, it's very vividly descriptive, and it carries you away in the nature of the poem. You know, it's a fascinating take on "I saw a snowflake smash against a flower." The poetry was something of a lift. I felt with Blake forever in an hour, such violence and paradox a gift. I tried to count the beauties breaking me, more numerous than snowflakes, that's for sure. And then I felt submerged, something like the sea. I felt immune to me, no need for a cure. It's just a fascinating write. What did you think, Bobby?
A done sonnet. Subscribed beautifully to the format and the structures. I felt with Blake forever in an hour. I thought that was an interesting reference. So just slipped in there, and I'm thinking she meant William Blake, which I thought was just interesting. I saw a snowflake smash against a flower. I don't think I've ever heard it termed that way before. I like the colloquial language used in this sonnet. It is juxtaposed with the very formal structure. It's an interesting contrast, but it really just tells a wonderful story. I really think this is a very, very uniquely done and very cleverly written piece.
Yeah, wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I agree that the snowflake smashing against the flower is really interesting, and the Blake reference as well too. I'm guessing, Blake was an artist and a poet and all that, but he was always trying to make social change and change things. So I'm thinking if that's the reference. I mean, all in all, I absolutely love this poem. I really did. Like, I'm kind of bookmarking it, to be honest, myself right now. It's absolutely beautiful. My favorite line is "such violence and paradox a gift," and it is very interesting, like you said, Bobby. Thinking about that, the snowflake and the flower and the violence of it. If the snowflake does come down, and it's what if the flower's there, the snowflake kind of melts, disappears, right? And it's a little bit violent, like it's destroying it, right? I really thought that was an interesting way to think about it. I absolutely love this. I think it's really beautiful. And just like I was saying before, she goes to galaxies and space at the end, the whole thing, talking about eternity, which is really, really interesting. So yeah, beautiful, beautiful, poem, Scraps and Scribbles.
Thank you, Daniel. Great comment. Okay, we have another caller, area code 667. Who's calling, please?
Martha.
Oh, hi, Martha. How are you? Welcome to the show. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. And if you wouldn't mind, please, when you see this, Martha. Okay, it's up. Oh, she dropped. Hello and welcome back, Martha.
Hello.
So I put up the next poem, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please. Martha?
Sure. Okay. Holly, the rubber turned stop, kicked back, gentle breezes tight, push flop, rustle, overwhelmed soul saying, what did that cuckoo say? Well, Holly is coming. Hello, Holly. It's bang open the
Do we lose Martha?
I think we might have, yeah. No, she's still with us. But her connection's really bad. Hello, Martha, can you hear us? You may have to hang up and call back. Okay, I'm going to ask you to call back, Martha, please. Okay, we'll give this another read here. This is Holly by Sinha Roy Biswara. Holly, the Rubicon sky's blushing face, gentle breezes tight embrace, collage, flowers lustful beckoning, overwhelmed soul sings, what that cuckoo sings. Lo, Holly is coming. I get drenched with colors inwardly. Scent of spring bang open the frozen spirit. My will becomes discreet. As soon as winter slides down to leeward side, ecstasy lands from the wings of spring. The cuckoos scream aloud. Lo, Holly is coming. This time's eyes imbibe dust blast, for whirling wind fly past. Quilts are sent back to their cell, as if more melodies add up to temple's bell. Windows once left ajar, moved wide open with a fling. A gush of a gentle spring, kisses all over, whisper near my ears. Lo, Holly is coming. It was a fascinating write. It, very descriptive, and, it pulls you along in its journey through the poem from start to finish. I thought that was well done. What did you think, Bob?
I enjoyed it. I like the visual imagery. I get drenched with colors inwardly. I like that line. Scent of spring. That is a really interesting way of looking at it. I get drenched with colors inwardly. As soon as winter slides down to leeward side, ecstasy lands from the wings of spring. That is beautiful. I really enjoyed this. These spring poems have just been so wonderfully metaphor rich. The visual imagery has been just stunning. It really is. I mean, this is like a verbal representation of a little preview of spring. It's nicely done.
Well, thank you. And Daniel, what do you think?
Yeah, this is it's definitely interesting. Referring to the Hindu celebration of Holi, I'm guessing, which is the festival of colors that comes in their springtime. I have a friend of mine that was just telling me about it. That was just talking to me about it actually, about that festival. So I think it's beautiful, and I love that. The ignorant American I am, I always think of the springtime in America, but there's different springtimes all over the place and different celebrations. So it's really interesting to see, and I thought it was very beautiful, beautifully written. I get drenched with colors inwardly, scent of spring, bang, open the frozen spirit, my will becomes discreet, very beautiful, and makes it all how it makes you feel inside, right? How these festivals, how the springtime, how the colors of the world of the of nature make you feel. So really nice job.
Excellent comment, thank you. And Martha, did you get the chance to read the poem?
Yeah, I did. Nobody heard me, but I got a chance to read it. Yeah, I thought it was really good. I like that part about get drenched with colors inwardly. It's a beautiful example of how spring can feel sometimes after winter. I thought it was really well written, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, would you mind digging up a poem?
No. You want something about spring, or just should I inflict a brevity on you since no one seemed to think I could write them? I didn't think I could write them. Okay, let me quickly dig something up. Oh, here we go. I got one right on the screen here. Let me grab it. Throw it on the, whoops. No, throw it on the, sorry about that. Punch the wrong button.
And okay. Daniel, would you mind looking for one as well, please?
Sure. I'm sorry, you want me to look for a poem? Sure. Let me see if we get it.
Yeah, thanks. And you can read after, Bobby.
Excellent. From the list, I'm assuming.
Sorry?
Yours.
Oh, you said you're saying what? Well, I'm sorry, I'm confused. Saying one of mine, poems. Oh, sure.
I'm asking you to look for one of your poems to post to the board.
Oh, sure, absolutely. See if I can find a positive springtime one.
Yeah, pull up my list here. Look for nature. Oh, I've got. Here we go. I got one. There it is. Okay. Where are you? Now it moved. Really should put these things in alphabetical order. There it is. Yay, I found it. Okay. This one I actually wrote about my garden. So let me, should I just throw it on the inbox?
Sure.
Find it. What happens when you refresh? Okay, there we go. Ba-da-ba. There we go. I've offered vernal awakenings. Would you like me to read it?
Yes, please.
Oh, okie dokie. Vernal awakenings. Heaven on earth awakens, burgeoning patches of utopia, emerald fingers ascend from beneath dusky cloaks of mulch. Tender bright blades of jade materialize from between brittle funereal remnants of the previous summer. Grab corpses, protect determined new shoots. Daffodils, jonquils, narcissus pronounce seasonal change. Fragrant hyacinth perfume greet the eager gardener. Trees veiled in chartreuse, the woods home to quiet magic, timber donning their verdant mantle, hinting at imminent lush summer foliage. Enveloped in a feathered serenade, birds offer triumphant song, heralding their victory, winter is endured and vanquished. Back deck of my private Shangri-La, wind chimes jingling the eupnea of spring, unite with their own atonal chorus. Balmy breeze makes blithesome music. Apperceive the cyclic rebirth. Rejuvenation unfolds, amplifies. The bedecked earth celebrates a resonant, vibrant festival. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. It's such a beautiful picture you paint, you know, of you being on the back deck of this private Shangri-La with the wind chimes jingling, the eupnea of spring unite in their own atonal chorus, balmy breeze, making blithesome music. You know, you can feel and see all this as it happens, and it's just beautifully penned. Excellent write, excellent read, Bobby. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, it's really, really beautiful, Bobby, with lots of great imagery. I really like brittle funeral remnants of the previous summer. It's really, really interesting. You know, the whole cycle of the seasons is you know, is such an interesting thing, and the way everything works. You know, we're a part of the earth that doesn't really do well with this. We want everything to be the same, right? We want it to be 7 degrees and sunny every day, and most of the other natural world goes, you know, has ways to deal with that. You know, so it's always interesting to think about. Bobby, was this something like were you? I'm curious. Were you like sitting outside on the springtime one day watching that, or how did you come up with these images?
I'm a gardener. My grandmother was a gardener. My grandmother was a Polish farm woman who could stick a pencil in the ground and make it sprout. So I learned at her uncle. And I have this insanely beautiful garden that my neighbors, I have people leaving plants for me on my front porch. 10 years later, I finally found out who did that. This was, and it's funny that you asked, because actually I took my first stroll through my garden today after I dropped something off at my neighbor's. I walked through, I have a path that pretty much encircles the house except for a little stretch. And one of the things that's always struck me is how you've got these remnants of the stems and the leaves, mostly stems, these hardened woody stems sticking out of the ground, and the new shoots come up between them, and that's why I said these brittle funereal remnants of the previous summer, and their drab corpses protect the determined new shoots, because that's what I saw today. The one lone daffodil. And I've got tulips and hyacinths and grape hyacinth breaking ground. It's just only going to be a matter of time. It's just, but I always find this time of the year very, I love fall. I love spring for different reasons. But the spring to me, it's the whole rebirth. Everything has been sleeping underground, and it comes up out of the ground, comes through the mulch, and it's determined. I mean, nature will not be put aside. It will not be thwarted. And it's just, I'm seeing this. I'm seeing things starting to awaken. Buds on my rose bushes, and like I said, the daffodils coming up, and I see the little things poking their heads out of the ground, and that's what made me think of. I will have to send you a picture of my garden in the summertime, because on one side of the house I have an English cottage garden that actually has an arbor with a rose growing over it, and it winds around the side of the house to my deck, and it is a riot of color.
It's beautiful. It's great, and the poem reflects that. And I'm glad you got all the flower the plants I left on your doorstep. So I'm glad you finally got those.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, it's me. But it's beautiful.
And Martha?
Beautiful, Joe.
Martha, what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a beautiful message of spring.
Thank
I love
you.
The way it covered all the aspects of the season. And it was just really enjoyable, and I enjoyed reading it. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha.
Thank you. I forgot to mention I have three bird baths. I have three bird baths, one in the front, two in the back, and I just love watching the birds.
Yeah, absolutely. The birds are wonderful. Okay, Daniel, do you want to post your poem now?
Yeah, I'll put one up. I probably have a better one about spring, and but this is the first one that came to mind. And I tried to, you know, find something. This is at least something to do with renewal, so I'll read this. It's called The History of Rain. I think it's been read before on a show a few months back, but we'll do it again. Late soya. Starts with late summer walks. It's not about spring, but that's okay. It's about renewal. The History of Rain. Late summer walk down a city street in middle America brings the light on my path to an ominous dark gray. As a thunderstorm detonates, indifferent to the ant colonies that suddenly scramble for shelter to keep from drowning between blades of grass, I run to the nearest house for shelter and find the doors locked and uninviting. In a panic, I race to the backyard to find the vegetable garden, an oasis of hopeful balance, planted by infant pilgrims deep within the lair of the beast. Among the plants, I find the shelter from the rain. As they absorb anger from the storm, they bring me to peace with chaos, within the chaos, where I suddenly feel the history of the water. A midday African rain to cool the skin from the scorching sun and warm the bones of all that drink from its energy. The Congo River swelling with every drop to rampage through the jungle like an angry army marching to a distant land. The radiating midday heat to arise the water from its earthly shackles, a warming light to defy gravity's might, a whistling wind to entice a caravan of dancing clouds to explore, an ocean voyage over a reflective, endless landscape reveals a lone blue whale swimming as a miscoloration on a pale blue mirror towards a staggered line at the edge of the horizon, all to bring a rhythmic symphony of raindrops falling like an exploding star to land on my open hand and roll off into the eager mouth of the awaiting garden. And the sun cracks the sky to shine down on its children and reveal the rain-painted garden in kaleidoscope radiance. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read and an excellent write as well. You carry along on this fantastic journey with you down the city street in middle America, and the light brings the light on the path to an ominous dark gray as the thunderstorm detonates. Indifferent to ant colonies that suddenly scramble for shelter to keep them from drowning between blades of grass. And then right to the garden where you go, among the plants I find shelter from the rain as they absorb anger from the storm. They bring me to peace within the chaos where I suddenly feel the history of the water. You know, water is it's a fascinating thing. It is life in my mind. And like water and light, you know, those two things brought life as far as I'm concerned. And I thought it was just an excellent write on the history of rain. Just beautiful, Daniel. And then your journey and then your ocean voyage over a reflective, endless landscape reveals a lone blue whale swimming as a miscoloration on a pale blue mirror towards a staggered line at the edge of the horizon. And just beautifully descriptive and powerful poem. What did you think, Bobby?
Oh, I really, really enjoyed this. I like the transitioning from your local locale to all of a sudden this global stretch. And how often we don't think of how rain affects us globally. And you've taken the rain to different locations, enjoyed that. I tend to think, in microcosms. I have a poem about rain that basically is me and my garden in the rain. but you've taken it out into the different parts of the world and how the rain affects different areas. And I really enjoyed that. That sojourn cerebrally, very imaginative, and I really I like the way you invoke that.
Thank you. And most of where I am comes from the other way. It comes from the west, but sometimes stuff will come from Africa, and you know it's. So I thought it was an interesting thing to think of. You know, rain in Africa could go into the Congo and then be evaporated up and be a cloud and come over towards Florida and fly up towards me and land on my hand. That's kind of what happens. You know, we do sometimes forget how you know, connected everything is in the world, right? So
it is.
Yeah, it was interesting to think about.
I like the way you imagined that and brought it back to us on paper.
Yeah, my mind goes all over the place. That's just not what I think.
And Martha,
but thank
what did
you very much.
I thought it was really, really beautiful. I liked the way it told the story of rain and took you right along with it all the way down to the end, and I thought it was excellently written.
Thank you, Martha.
Great comment, Martha. Thank you. Okay, Martha, I have your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. I want to tell winter goodbye. I can see the sun shining in the sky. It's about time to tell winter goodbye. I can see it more and more every day, and I know that spring is on its way. Soon new leaves will burst from the trees, flowers will bloom and sweeten the breeze. Soon we will leave this winter behind and begin enjoying the springtime. I love springtime the most of all. It's so much better than winter and fall. Spring makes the flowers bloom and grow, and I'm so tired of ice and snow. I'm so tired of the chill in the air, tired of trees looking stark and bare. I can't wait for the spring breezes to blow and watch the new green things grow. Come on, spring, don't make me wait. I don't care what the groundhog states. Bring on the flowers and the sun and the sky. I'm so ready to tell winter goodbye.
Fabulous read. Excellent read. And, you know, this is a fantastic write. You can feel the longing and the need for springtime to come and take away winter. I thought it was an excellent write, excellent read. What did you think, Bobby?
I think it's what Martha wrote what everybody else is thinking. Come on, you know, and enough of this cold ice and snow and rain. And, you know, in Virginia, we have a pretty temperate climate. We're growing season or growing zone 7. So if we get snow, it's only because I've been praying to the gods of frozen precipitation. We've had this week it's been one day of cold rain after another, and you know, unless you're irrepressible, it's like another rainy day. And Martha has so beautifully said what we all think is you know, enough of this. I want warmth. I want flowers.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yes, I thought it was very beautiful and you know, a passionate call to springtime. That, you know, I can see the sun shining in the sky. It's about time to say winter goodbye. You know, you are already picturing it. You know, it's here. You're waiting for it. Like, I can feel the excitement in there. It's very beautiful,
yeah.
And you know, the rhyming was great. My only disappointment was we didn't get a live concert from you. That's all. Would have liked to heard the you know, a live show here, but that's okay.
I don't do live.
You don't do the live stuff, all right?
No.
It was a beautiful read. Beautiful read, and I love
it. Record
the poem.
It and make sure it's right first.
excellent. But
okay,
yeah, it was
so
very
well
beautiful.
Done,
I love the passion.
Thank you, guys. Okay, I have the next one up. This is by Frank Poetic Picasso, and he has a soundcloud. I will play that.
Within the vast colors of nature, I find you there. Amongst the fairest blooms of the lively vernal days, the vivid verve of a choral hymn of sparrows, seated upon the balls of the verdure of leaves, above the vista lady bird awakening from her sleep, and the Tartarus water lilies of the animated pond scene. Beyond the fresh chrysalis of the monarch butterflies, you stand with the morning radiance of a pretty smile. I seek you in the gardens of verbenas and sweet nectar, where the velvety petals of the variegated pansies blossom gently with the vermilion roses of midday. Behind the prickly burrs of chestnuts by blackberries. With the arrival of the evening, I can see the will-o'-the-wisp fading as I begin to see then the myriad of the shining stars beneath the zenith of the angelic luminaries watching over the rhapsodies of the nightly illustrations of time. I know in the depth of my heart you are waiting, and I shall find you in our beautiful garden of lovers, with the twinkle in your eyes and glow in your smile, as we hold hands in embrace, in a tender kiss of our affection. Eres mi rosa que cuido siempre, tu sonrisa es la belleza de una estrella. Tus ojos son el brillo de la mañana. Tu beso es mi sed con que amanezco. You are my rose that I always take care of. Your smile is the beauty of a star. Your eyes are the brightness of the morning. Your kiss is my thirst with which I wake up. Mi amor, mi flor, in the poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read. You know, he has talent in his oration. But, you know, the pictures that he paints through here and the longing is just palpable. You can see all this, as he says, above the Vestal Ladybird awakening from her sleep in the chartreuse water lilies of the animated pond scene, beyond the fresh chrysalis of the monarch butterflies, you stand with the morning radiance of a pretty smile. How beautiful is that? Epic, right? Epic read. What did you think, Bobby?
He has a wonderful command of the English language. He just, there's different ways to say red. There's different ways to say green. I mean, he's got cerise and vermilion. For red and verdure. And chartreuse. Beautiful visual imagery. He's using and that's what makes his poetry is so enjoyable, because he paints such a broad canvas, such a wide a variety of colors with his visual imagery and with his word paintings. We've got monarch butterflies. You stand with the morning radiance of a pretty smile. I mean. I wish somebody tell me that. It's beautiful. It is a gorgeous compliment. I mean, it's really, really nice. I mean, and we've got verbenas and variegated pep. This is a riot of color. It's beautiful. You can see this garden from the way he's described it. You can almost smell the fragrance. And through this all, he's sharing it with someone he loves. And does life get any better?
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Frank's, I love listening to Frank. I mean, even the second language besides English he was reading was beautiful. I just love the way he reads. And, you know, I the way I got from this was kind of a mix of both the love he's comparing the love of this woman to nature. So it's kind of, you know, how beautiful this woman is, as beautiful as nature in springtime, but also just a love of nature too. I kind of see it both ways, where he's basically having a love, you know, showing his love towards nature itself and towards springtime itself that's coming here. So describing, you know, Mother Nature as a beautiful woman that's that's showing himself to him, that's coming to him, that he can, you know, feel for. So I really enjoyed all of that. Beautiful, as always, Frank, absolutely. Guys, I apologize, family calls. I must take off. I really appreciate the honor of joining the show tonight and the honor of reading and commenting on everyone's poems. So everybody have a fantastic evening, but I apologize, I do have to leave.
Okay, I'm going to post this here. Salwa is going to call in, I think, so I'm going to hold off on her poem. Okay, so we have another, one by Marius Alexandru, and I'm going to post that. Hold on here. Okay, there we go. Now he has a SoundCloud, so I will play that in 1 second here. Okay.
Breaking Stone by Martha Gettle. I thought that I would always...
Wrong link. There we go.
I hear the music, magic all around. The little birds are singing in my dreams. Ah, how I miss this pleasant, joyful sound. I feel the freshness of the crystal streams. White snowdrops gently say, the spring is here. On puffy clouds, the sun so happy gleams. The rain has stopped, the sky is blue and clear. Pink tulips wake up early from the snow. Spring is indeed the best time of the year. The gardens miss the old romantic glow. Through angels dance, the world in wonder spins. The winter cries, she's sad and has to go. She shows last time her irritated grins. The spring has won again, the spring begins.
Well, that was a beautiful read, and I really enjoyed the flute in the background as well. But, you know, I hear the magic, I hear the music, magic all around. The little birds are singing in my dreams. How I miss this pleasant, joyful sound. You know, birdsong is such a beautiful thing, and, you know, it's very refreshing and endearing, as much as this poem is as well. Very endearing poem. And, you know, I like the battle between the winter and spring. She's sad and has to go. She shows last time her irritated grins. The spring has won again. The spring begins. Epic poem. That's an epic read. What did you think, Bobby?
I'm with you. I love the closing. She shows last time her irritated grins. That's, I like the way he's personified the seasons. Winter cries, she's sad and has to go. Blue angels dead, the world in wonder spins. It even though we've been through it over and again, it doesn't cease to be miraculous. You know, all these things that have been, the ground's dead, everything's brown and crunchy, and all of a sudden these little green things, little fingers keep popping out of the ground, and the next thing you know, the birds are chasing one another around the backyard trying to build families, and you've got flowers. I find it amazing year after year, and I think the way he's captured it here, I hear the music, magic all around. It is magic, and the birds singing. I've watched through my kitchen window yesterday two Carolina wrens hopping around playing on my deck, and I was hoping for a moment that they would not decide that my umbrella was a good place to nest and build their family.
Yeah.
But
right. Absolutely.
They did that in one of my potted plants one year. it's so beautiful the way the rain has stopped, the sky is blue. He's got a beautiful word picture here. It's lovely. And it is very descriptive of spring.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And I'd like to welcome Sawa to the show. Hello, Sawa.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I was hesitant to call because my phone, when I put myself on mute, you're going to hear a click. My phone is not working very well, unfortunately. I lost my contact. Let's let you know. But I don't want to keep I know you have barely time left, but can I comment on Maria's poem, please?
Yes, please.
I love his writing. It's very delicate and very tender over his this is different. He usually writes for his wife, but still magical and enchanting. I feel the freshening on the crystal stream, white snowdrop gently say the spring is here. Like everything is welcoming the spring. The rain has stopped, the sky is blue and clear, pink tulips, everything is, as you said, Bobby's have rebirth all over again, which is miraculous. And I love the line when he said, the winter cries, she said, and has to go. That's so beautiful. She saw his last time, her irritated grins. The spring has won again, the spring begins. It seems like it's his favorite season, you can tell from his writing. And who doesn't love spring? It's just amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sawa. Okay, I've got your poem up next, Sawa.
Oh, thank you. Do you hear the clicking? I'm okay. I'm just feeling so self-conscious about it. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Okay. Au spring, au printemps. Au printemps que j'aime la lueur de ta rosée qui plaît aux fleurs, le ciel est éclair. Deux oiseaux voltigés près de moi sans peur. Leurs ailes amoureuses ont effleuré mon visage qui se sent posé sur le feuillage d'une branche. Le vent léger flottait mes pensées en les valsant avec une passion si belle qui était prête à exister. Jusqu'à que mes larmes au bord de la rivière ont voulu dire adieu. À mes yeux inquiets, à ma douce ivresse, à ta triste mélancolie pour laisser le soleil toucher mon sourire, d'allégresse, pendant ma promenade solitaire, où le parfum des roses a parfumé mon cœur, où mon âme s'est éveillée. Sachant l'aurore ne s'absente jamais, je ne savais plus pleurer ou sourire. Oh spring, how I love the glow of your dew appealing to flowers, the sky was clear. Two birds fluttered near me since fear. The loving wings flickered my face, then landed on the foliage of a branch. The light wind floated my thoughts, waltzing them with such beautiful passion, which was ready to exist, until my tears by the river would have wanted to say adieu to my worried eyes, to my sweet drunkenness, to my sad melancholy, to let the sun touch my smile of joy. During my lonely walk, where the scent of roses perfumed my heart and where my soul awakened, knowing dawn is never absent, I didn't know anymore, do I cry or do I smile? End of poem.
Beautiful read and fantastic, right? You know, you carry us through this springtime with you and to the point, you know, where knowing dawn is never absent and I didn't know anymore, do I cry or do I smile? You know, That's a haunting little ending to the poem. Beautifully expressed. I really loved it. What did you think, Bobby?
Thank you. That was great.
Oh, my goodness. I love Zola's writing. This is so delicate. It's like, it reminds me of the blossoms that come out on the apple trees in my neighbor's yard. There's no green leaves. There's all these wonderful, fragrant, pink blossoms. That's what Salwa's poetry reminds me of, these beautiful, delicate, fragrant, just wonderfully visual things. The light wind floats my thoughts, waltzing them with such beautiful passion, which was ready to exist. That is a beautiful stanza. Beautiful words, until my tears by the river would have wanted to say adieu. I could listen to your poetry all day long, my dear lady.
Oh, coming from a poetess like you, I'm very humble. Thank you.
thank you. Beautiful
comment. Thank you. Beautiful comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Sal, would you like to say anything about your poem?
I just love nature. I really do. It wakes sensation and feeling. I feel free when I walk in. I do walks every day, winter and whatever the weather. Just so refreshing watching birds and, I don't know, that's me. I just love nature, really.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sawa. I appreciate that.
Pleasure.
Okay. I've got the next link up, and this is by Frank. And he has a SoundCloud.
My butterfly.
There we go.
My butterfly, open your wings and fly with me upon a flight of a lover's escapade into endless fields of grape vineyards beyond the broad hills of a countryside, fascinated by the radiant sunlight and a colorful array of monarch butterflies. Then embark on their seasonal odyssey again as they seek to reach their final destination. Sojourning in the rows of the olive trees, as the wind blows and softs the vines, the blue and wine grape flowers permeate a wonderful scent of nature's delights. The wind subsides to a mellifluous cadence with the gentle breeze of the calm nightfall, and bluebirds roost in the nearby boughs when the fireflies illuminate the dark sky. Where a rainbow at dawn will be awakened over the new horizon of the drifting clouds, witnessing the stunning metamorphosis of hundreds of butterflies coming out of their cocoons. My butterfly, will I call out, be with me till the mating season ends. In the poem.
Yeah, that's just a beautiful poem, you know, filled with fantastic vivid imagery, and the longing is palpable for his butterfly. I thought it was an excellent poem. What did you think, Bobby?
Oh, I heard him read this, I think, earlier in the week, and I really liked it. I believe I said... It's a very ethereal rite, richly metaphored, stunning visual imagery. And you can feel the freedom and the way he describes it, and it's almost like he's joined along with the butterfly. His spirit is just as free as the butterflies that he's watching. It's a really lovely piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Sal, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Barbie and you. I mean, this is the third time I hear it, and it's still beautiful. It's so romantic. You can feel, I love how the butterfly and his beloved one becomes one. Butterfly is such a delicate and beautiful creature that to just show the delicateness of his beloved one at the same time, and how the butterfly reminds him of her, animated by the radiant sunlight, and how he and bring the beauty of nature again, how nature awakens so many sensations and longing. Really beautiful, very romantic and passionate for Frank, and beautifully read.
Well said, thank you. Okay, so we have one more SoundCloud, and this one's from the springtime contest. So I'm going to post this to the group, and we'll play that SoundCloud. Okay, there's that.
Hello everyone, this is Kala Anisha, and I'll be reciting my poem, A Yellowy Formula. The living essence of winter saying goodbye is here. When cold winter cools off with the warm spring clear, yellow sun rays fill the blue sky, yellow leaves filled my green eye. Light breeze hitting my skin, light sounds of the chirping birds win. Trees standing tall in polished symmetry that could defy all the laws of geometry. The aroma of pine woods filled my nostrils that would even last even after it turns fossils. Artwork of the whole universe is in front as unhideous. Well, night sky is pretty, but this beauty is prettiest. A city is of course busy and bustling, but more work is done by the bees hustling. A long stroll here seems never ending, just like I desire this change to be never ending. Thank you.
Wow, that was a great sound, Cloud, and I thought it was just a wonderful pen of living in life, you know. Yellow sun rays filled the blue sky, yellow leaves filled my green eye, light breeze hitting my skin, light sounds of the chirping bird wind. Just a gorgeous write with fantastic imagery, and the scenery is just beautifully painted. Well, night sky is pretty, but this beauty is the prettiest. The city is, of course, busy and bustling, but more work done by the bees hustling. Fantastic imagery throughout. What did you think, Bobby?
Oh, I agree. The visual imagery in this is stunning. And the rhyming is so fluid. I mean, she read through it so quickly. It's a beautiful cadence. The rhyming is so flawless. And nothing's forced. It's a wonderful story of trees standing tall in polished symmetry. What a wonderful image that could defy all laws of geometry. The aroma of pine woods filled my nostrils that would last even after it turned fossils. I love that. That's really creative. And when she said the aroma of pine woods fills my nostrils, she's invoked the sense of smell there, and I can't help but to be reminded of what the fragrance is like. So this is a very sensory piece, very nicely done with the way it's written.
Well said, thank you, Bobby. And your thoughts, Sala?
Oh, I really love this one. I agree with both of you. I love how she invoked all the senses like hearing and seeing and smelling and even feeling. So, and hearing the birds, just amazing effect of nature on us as human beings. People who take a moment, even in a busy city, take a moment and enjoy nature. It just brings you back to earth and like renew your life. I just like desire change to be never ending. You just have to go back to the real life, but you wish it doesn't end. I really love this. It's so true.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sawa. Okay, I have the next poem up, and it's by Lynn Guthrie, and she has a SoundCloud as well.
First signs of spring. Early spring rumbles in its grunge of gray. It's a prelude to the sun, an effervescent life. Its muffled inner girdlings await the miracle of thaw, and all its bursts of promises, of crocus bulbs and sprouts. Mere faded remembrances, the brittle leaves of yesteryear, a season buried under snow, its pure white coat long gone. Naked branches barely stir, still groggy in their sleep, await the surge of energy to kickstart their awakening. Relentless rhythm of seasons under threat of heavy clouds will wash away winter's decay and welcome spring in all its glory.
Well, she did a beautiful read on that poem, and the poem itself is as well beautiful. Early spring rumbles in its grunge of gray. It's a prelude to the sun and its effervescent life. Its muffled inner gurglings await the miracle of thaw and all its bursts of promises of crocus bulbs and sprouts. You know, this is what you're talking about, Bobby, when, you know, all these bursts of green pop through with the hope of turning into the beauties that they will become. I thought it was just an excellent poem on spring. What did you think, Bobby?
I enjoyed this very much. I think this is the first time I've ever heard Lane read. I'm constantly in and out of her contests, but I've never heard her read before, and she reads so beautifully. And I like the early spring rumbles in its grunge of gray. Great alliteration. But she's got some, I love the center stanza, the mere faded remembrances, the brittle leaves of yesteryear, a season buried under snow, its pure white coat long gone. That is so beautifully descriptive. And just the way she's described everything, heavy wind or heavy clouds washing away winter's decay. You've had some really magnificent poetry this evening, just all of them different, yet all of them really doing such a stunning job of describing the miracle of spring and how beautiful it smells and sounds and looks. And this is another very fine example of that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Salwa, what are your thoughts?
It's really beautiful. I like this one as well. I love, you're right, her read and her so soft and gentle, and the beauty of things that take birth. It's so true, like so beautifully, something that we already know, but the way it's presented, just captivating from the beginning to the end, and fervent life, prelude to the sun, very poetic. Malfeld, the choice of wording, just perfect to show the beauty of a new season and the ending of another one. Really, I enjoyed it. And how it's musical also, rhythm. It has a rhythm, not only, it's true, like season have a rhythm with the music of birds and song, of the water running, just amazing. Symphony of nature.
Absolutely. Thank you, Salwa. Okay, Bobby, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I'd be delighted. Let's see, what have we got here? We've got Wintering and Early Spring by Weighed Down Upon Joy. Okay, and here we go. Oh, beautiful. Look at that. That picture with the tulips with the snow on them. That is so cool. Wintering and Early Spring. It's called a fourteener. When the daffodils are nodding from the shoulders of the roads, and the tulip trees are blooming with their ever extra heavy loads. When the air is feeling warm beneath the bluest blue of skies, I begin to note the robins have begun to vocalize. They're hanging around in bunches, pulling worms from warm earth, and it's then I get the feeling that it's spring and her rebirth. So I'm thinking about a holiday to celebrate the change till the weatherman starts chatting about a storm that's looking strange. There's something kind of crazy about the weather nowadays, and it's nothing like it used to be before this global phase. The seasons all seem numbered in the right amount of time, and trees knew when to go to sleep and when to rise and shine. The bulbs all knew just what to do and when to send their buds. But lately, all seems upside down, and with dry spells or bad floods. The weather gods no longer plan the way they used to do. It's all or nothing that they send, and that's all, and we can see that's true. We watch the skies from morn till night and note that all's amiss, and that is why we can't rely on winter's springtime bliss. When frost licks at the new grown grass that heard 'twas time to grow, it's sure to make the golfers groan who thought it was time to go. February feels the first of many firsts to come, and no one can predict how much or will there be just some. It's just that Mother Nature's voice cannot be heard by all, And she's the only one that was in charge till mankind dropped the ball.
And wow.
That was a beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, this is a gentle and delicate poem, but filled with a powerful punch of global warming and its effects on the earth and our weather systems. Just a fantastic poem. What did you think, Selma?
You read it so beautifully, Bobby, and I agree. It's just like the combination of the two. My pleasure, like how she talked about the beauty of the spring, but it's not the same anymore because of global warming, confusing Mother Earth. And it's true, Mother Earth is on charge, but now, unfortunately, man is interfering with Mother Nature, sadly. So we are not now been interfering, and now we see the result, unfortunately. Hope will stop.
Absolutely, yeah. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Well, as you said, it is a beautiful piece, has some wonderful visual imagery, but it is also, it is a severe but elegantly phrased indictment of what mankind has done to its home, this ball of dirt that we all cohabitate on, and the way we have just tinkered with the environment and the climate, and the now the seasons are reflecting the interference from mankind, and it's well said, it's well done, but it is also very thought provoking when the way it's written, and structurally it is just a superbly written piece. The rhyming is flawless. It has a great cadence to it, and it's a great read. And also, it is a very well phrased finger wagged in everyone's face. stop fooling with Mother Nature.
Absolutely, yeah. Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I have the next write up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Selma.
Of course. Okay, by Robert Poleski, Spring Meadow. One, meadow, again spring begins natural. Defibrillator jumpstarts life into the land, blossom by blossom, spring flowers ripple, paint laughing soil, make your heart sing, purified meadow's air brings new life and new hope is born. The dawn's moon bright sheen covers marshy green grass. Hipping folks, cups break the quiet of the world as the moon begins to wane. Fog of flowers on the field start to reveal itself. The aroma hovering around the meadow, spears of morning light, drench the farthest corners with the golden magic. Purple crocuses glow with royal pride, pleased with their grandeur, jewel green grasshoppers bounce atop the grass like leggy trampolines. Murmuration of starlings wheel and bank overhead like wind-tossed gunpowder. High-octane rhythm throbs and thumps, symphony of sound, spirit-renewing rustic scene on a spring meadow. Two, in the garden. Spring is here in your garden, catarizing gapping winds, winter left behind, world moving from iron gray to fairy land green, peppermint grass, with nature surgeon. Half strings of golden light squeeze through naked cherry tree branches, shamelessly exposing its budding buds, manicured with blisping petals, then touch steaming shadows and soften the frozen earth. A future occupant of this shadowy corner, shawl of honeysuckle, primrose of bluebell, sway and weave in rich mosaic, crocus and daffodils, heir to the stained glass perfection, all waving at the ecstasy blue sky in Sunny's garden's corner. Overhead, hunting geese, whipping swans from winter exodus of banished bird, flowing out of Celtic fairy tale, tumplum bumblebees root from honey pots, mustard yellow flowers, mini trumble dryers plunging their syringes, extracting the booty. Spring is here. In the distance, world greatest sound coming out of hibernation, mellifluous hum of low mowers, surrogate wind music flowing to winter better ears, tilling and shearing the grass, pedicuring a symmetrical perfection, erasing winter and tidy jumbled sail of chaos, leaving the clippings behind for the fussy nesters. The air smells like roasted sugar cakes after the grass is shorn, baked over in smell of grass, as the sun purges of it of water, young and lush. Spring is here, bountiful garden again, spirit enriching pastoral scenes, nature grand theater, the pumping heart of nature is beating again, right here in the garden, saying, let's party again. And the phone. And my apology for reading some words in French. I got stuck. I'm so sorry. I tried my best. Oh, my goodness. Such a beautiful poem.
Yeah. It is a beautiful poem. You know, it's very descriptive in its nature. The ability of the writer to carry you aloft in this scenery is palpable. And I thought it was just a fantastic poem. What did you think, Bobby?
My goodness, this is a stunning write. Beautiful piece of writing here. The visual imagery, this is truly a word painting. And I like the way it's divided into meadow, in the garden. It gives you a little bit of a difference as to how the spring arrives and how it's manifested. But I mean, just the colors in this, and just I'm trying to pick out one spot. I can't pick out one spot. It's like the world moving from iron gray to fairyland green. The peppermint grass, the best nature surgeon, and just the way the colors are used. There's a mention of malachite and bliss pink, and it's just mustard yellow. This is a really well-crafted piece. There's a lot of attention to detail in the writing. Surrogate wind music flowing into winter-battered ears, whittling and shearing the grass, and pedicuring a symmetrical perfection. This just, there's a wonderful command of the English language here. It's just an all-around, it's a great read. And by the way, I didn't notice that you had said in things in French. I thought it was supposed to be that way. my dear lady, you could read us the phone book and we'd be enraptured.
Thank you.
But this is a really, really a wonderful word picture of spring. And do you feel as though this person really has immersed themselves not only in the season, but in the feeling of it from this writing? They really do enjoy this season because it is manifest in the writing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sawa, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm in love with this piece. I really am in love with it. It's a masterpiece. He brought the beauty of every small little details of spring and the meadow and the garden. It's just what a beautiful treat and the manifestation of the sensations. Like incredible, really beautiful. Spring begins nature. And he keeps repeating to remind us the aroma, the swan, the grandeur, just like the way, how they're jumping, how they're bouncing, the little grasshopper. Amazing. I really love it from the start to the end. This is going to be recommended for the front page. This is incredible, right? Amazing.
Great comment. Thank you. And I'd like to thank you, ladies, for calling in and sharing your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, poets. And good night.
Good night. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Buonanotte.
Buonanotte.
Buonanotte. Ciao.
Good night.
Thank you, everyone. Grazie. Ciao.